up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's Superman.
Okay, how many of you are saying it along with him? Created in 1932 by Jerry Siegel, the son of Jewish immigrants in Cleveland, Superman is still flying high. This week, DC Comics released its new animated DVD. It's called Superman vs. the Elite.
Are you the Superman that the 21st century needs?
This is an act of war!
And then there's Larry Tye's new book, Superman, the High-Flying History of America's Most Enduring Hero. How actually two young Jewish boys, Jerry and illustrator Joe Shuster, would fend off bullies, not in real life, but in their stories. How today, Smallville is a favorite TV show, Superman a favorite Halloween costume. How Superman went from being the fatherless child who, like Moses, was sent from the planet Krypton to Earth, found by the Kent family. My sister's bumper sticker reads, Superman was adopted. And how he then became a father figure for generations of fans. Larry Tye joins us in the studio. And Larry, it's such a story. Take us back to where Superman came from. Jerry Siegel, the creator.
What I'd love to take you back to is an afternoon in the early 1930s, 1932, in a used clothing store in a very seedy section of Cleveland, Ohio. And Jerry Siegel's father owned that store, and three guys come in and try on a suit and walk out without paying. And Jerry's dad tries to stop them. He has a massive heart attack, and he drops dead. The 17-year-old kid has lost his dad. He's lost his role model. And the only way that he can escape what happened to him with his dad, escape some of the tormenting that he faced since he was a little kid on the playground.
Because he was Jewish and he was an immigrant.
Because he was Jewish, yep. And he was a little too short. And every night he would escape to bed with a pen and a piece of paper. And one night, shortly after his dad died, he's escaping to bed and jotting down the story of this extraordinary character. That first story was about a robber holding up a guy who looked a whole lot like Jerry's dad, and this creature coming to rescue him, a creature that Jerry wished he could have been to have rescued his dad that day in the store. And this bereft kid is suddenly given a hero that can make up for some of his loss.
Yeah.
And there's never, probably in the history of publishing, been a more perfect coincidence between a hero being invented and America being at a moment when it needed a hero. We were in the middle of the Great Depression. We were about to go to war, and suddenly Jerry Siegel gives us the perfect hero to believe in.
Well, then you trace this incredible history. It's the history of the birth of comic books, really. And all along the way, there are people who get involved with Superman who have also lost their fathers or don't meet their fathers till later in life or don't know their life story.
The only guy more important to the Superman story than Jerry who wrote him was a guy named Jack Liebowitz, who published him at DC Comics. And Jack Liebowitz had also not known his father, and he was looking for a hero too. So you've got a kid who invents a hero, an entrepreneur who gives this hero the market so America can see him in comic books, in comic strips, on radio, in cartoons, and on TV. And then you get the first TV Superman, George Reeves, who also has grown up and not known till he was in his 20s who his real father was. So two things are going on throughout Superman's history. One, you've got a sense of a character playing to what America needed, but the other is this much more personal, heartfelt story of a character playing to what his creators needed.
Well, and as Superman grows, and he literally evolves, he has to then go back in the comic book. He has to learn where he came from, and we all learn with him.
So with J.R. Tolkien, we're given the entire planet, the whole universe is there fully formed. With Superman, one of the wonderful things is it formed over time. It started out with a planet exploding, and we had no idea what really went on Krypton. Over time, the backstory gets filled in. We understand this is the ultimate orphan who is sent to Earth in a story that Jews think of as the perfect Exodus and Moses story and that Christians think of as a Christ story. Suddenly, he's got a cousin named Supergirl, and he's got a dog, and he's got all of these things that fill in around him. Every generation, his new handlers could fill in another piece. He starts by jumping and he ends up flying.
Let's go back to, though, how much Superman became for just about everybody who was involved in his creation, a hero for the Jews, a defender of the Jews.
I don't think it was accidental that the name that Superman came from Krypton with was Kal-El, which in Hebrew means the vessel of God. And it was not accidental that at a moment when the Holocaust was blowing up the Jewish world, the planet of Krypton blows up, and they had these things in Eastern Europe called Kinder Transports that were trying to save young Jewish kids. And Jerry Siegel had his hero saved on a Kinder Transport that brings him to Earth.
Well, you talk about how so many Jewish Americans became involved in the creation of Superman, and you trace all different ways in which you see this in a way to sort of have the power that they were not feeling in an America at this time, and certainly weren't feeling as Germany was marching. But was there a time decades later when there was almost a whiff of kind of an Aryan thing about Superman? I mean, he didn't start off with truth, justice, and the American way. That was added later. Was there a time when, it became something that might have made some Americans a little uncomfortable?
Very uncomfortable. That in Germany, in the Nazi era, Friedrich Nietzsche's Übermensch, his Superman, was the Aryan model. The idea of an American Superman made a lot of people uncomfortable, and yet there was a sense that even the SS recognized in the official SS newspaper, they attacked that scumbag Jew Jerry Siegel and his Jewish superhero. So there was something that our Superman was not quite Nietzsche's Übermensch, and that there was something more human about him. And to me, what it really was is that was the Clark Kent and Superman, that while he was this extraordinary hero, with most of his adventures, he prevailed because of his brain, not his brawn, and he was perpetually striving to understand the Clark Kent in his own humanness.
Yeah.
And he is today alive and well at age 74, mm-hmm. and I think likely to last longer than either you or I does.
He has aged. You know, I mean, you see the early comics and you hear about these early radio shows. He was more boyish, didn't know that much about himself. He seems somewhat hardened by what he's seen over 75 years. Is he something of a father figure? Is he? I mean, you research what psychologists say about Superman. Is it too far to say that he has become the father figure that Jerry Siegel would have wanted?
I don't think it's too far. And as much as I trust psychologists, I trust your 9-year-old nephew more. We have all these fraught heroes like Spider-Man. We have dark heroes like Batman. But the clunky familiarity is something really comfortable, particularly in tough times, to go back to.
Well, and as you say, it's not just Superman. It's Clark as well. And, you know, many people probably have that point in their lives when they realize, wow, Dad is not perfect. You know, Superman is really Clark. But then again, Clark is also really Superman.
I love the notion that if somebody is insightful enough, they can look within me and see there's really a Superman there. He represents enough universal at the same time as enough fun that I think we keep going back to him.
Larry Tighe, his new exhaustive look at Superman. Is Superman the high-flying history of America's most enduring hero? Perhaps a perfect gift for your Superman this weekend. Larry, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me on.
Here Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service, NPRI. Our producers include Hitesh Hati, Kevin Sullivan, Benito Menegon's little girl Lynn, Suneo's daughter Emiko Tamagawa, Sydney's Karen Miller-Medson, Ray's boy Alex Ashlock, Jill Ryan, daughter of Steve. Our interns are Jody Natale and Anwar's pride and joy, Sarah Faisal. Our technical director is Doug Sugert, or as we call him, Son of Ron. Chris Ballman is the managing editor. Hi, Albert. And the senior producer of Here and Now is Kathleen McKenna, Hugh's little girl. I will always be Floyd's. All you super fathers, have a great Father's Day, and please join us again. Here and Now.
Superman, Superman.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.